given two private prayer requests over the last couple days. Would like you to pray for those. Lord knows the details. Again, every now and then a matter comes up, just needs to be private, and that's what we've got. All right, with that, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we are grateful to be here this morning, thankful for your word, thankful for the opportunity to open it up among your people. And Lord, I just pray that you be with us. Lord, bless this knowledge to us. Help us, Lord, to be able to do something with it. Because we know, Lord, that your word is always good. Your word always works. Lord, it is simply us that does not use it well. So help us, Lord, to do just that and to use your word well. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. All right, 2 Samuel 22 and verse 31. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all them that trust in him. For who is God save the Lord? And who is a rock save our guide? Save our God, sorry. I've often found God's protection over my life, and I have found it comforting. I have found it assuring. Knowing that God is there, and knowing that even when things aren't the way I want them to be, they are not completely out of control, because my God sees it, and he is controlling the level. As I was going through this verse, I thought again of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It must not have been pleasant to stand before the king. It must not have been pleasant to have every shred of clothing they have forced onto their bodies. Must have been very painful to be tied and handled roughly. And it must have been a bit scary to be thrown into that furnace. But oh, how surprised they were to find it not as hot as it could have been. And that is how I see my troubles. And I pray that is how you see yours. That though the furnace is intimidating, the treatment is rough, we find it not as hot as we are expecting, because our Lord is right there in that furnace with us. I take a lot of comfort from that. We've talked a little bit about this over the last few weeks and have just been tucking it in here or there. But I love that God is my shield. I love that he is my protector. And I'll even tell you this, I have often found that good decision-making is a powerful shield from calamity. I don't have to get out of trouble if I do the right thing. I only know I am doing the right thing when I'm doing what I know God wants me to do. Now that leads to some gray areas, you know. What does the Lord want me to eat for breakfast this morning is a very difficult question to answer. Should I wear the purple or the blue? That is a very difficult one to answer with the Bible. Those things we have some liberties in. But when it comes down to the hard line facts of my behavior, God does not give me too much to question. I know that I ought to be honest. I know that I ought to be patient and kind and loving. I know that I ought to have tolerance. And I know that I ought to be forbearing. And I know that I ought to be patient. These are things the Bible has told me to do. And I've got no problem doing them. At least I shouldn't have any problem doing them until, well, I do. Until I do. And when I do have a problem following them, that is when the shield drops and I've brought myself into danger's path. I had this experience. I was on the phone with, I think I was on the phone with Brother Mark. And I was getting gas in my car. And somehow I managed to lock my keys in the car. You ever do that? I have never done that. Well, I take that back, except for once when I was a kid in college, I did that. But I am not one to lock my keys in anything. But over the last few weeks, I've been having issues. I locked my keys in the car while I was talking to Brother Mark. And then I locked my keys in the church right before, I think, Coffee Fellowship. Brother Charlie had to come rescue me. Normally, I am very protective of my keys. They're always in my pocket. As a maintenance guy, I learned you don't go anywhere without your keys because you have no idea when you're going to need them, so you should always have them. As a matter of fact, my first weekend on the job, I left my keys. I set my keys down next to my tool bag, One of the residents, the resident's parents stole my keys, thinking that they belonged to their loved one who was in the hospital. So that was rough trying to get a hold of them. They finally called me. They finally found a way to get a hold of me there at the office. Hey, we found a set of keys. They don't belong to our daughter. Can we get those back to you? Been very particular, very careful with them. What happens when you drop your shield? What happens when you stop being particular? You have to answer for it. So there I am. I was freezing cold. I've got Danielle on the phone. Hey, I locked my keys in the car. Can you come up and rescue me? And you know what I did? I sat there inside the gas station talking to the gas station guy for a while. Just as embarrassed can be. Just feeling a fool. You're not particular. You're not careful. It causes stuff. Anywhere from small, mild embarrassments at the gas station to having a church member come and finding you out in the freezing cold with not but a shovel in your hand. Yeah, embarrassing. All the way up to the more serious things. Things you got to give apologies for. Things where you've got to suffer loss because of it. See, we got to be mindful about our shield, to make sure that we are staying within where it is. What good is a shield if it is left back at camp? What good is a shield if it's left in our bedrooms or if it is left in our car? What good is it if it is not of use? I like to look at pictures, people who have Bibles that they've redone the covers on. I like to watch those. I like to pay attention to those. And there was this guy who took a picture of a stack of Bibles, had to have at least a dozen Bibles sitting there. And I just kind of sat there and wondered, I go, wouldn't it be weird if he had all those Bibles and didn't crack a single one of them? You know, that's possible. With the way our sin nature is, it's more than possible. It's probable that there are people who have quite the collection of God's Word, but never look into them. As a matter of fact, it's probable for us to sit under God's teaching, to hear preaching and to sit in Sunday school classes and pick nothing up from it. We might even agree with what's being said, but when it comes down to putting it into practice, we don't use it. Whoa, how sad to have all the preventative measures we would need right there at our fingertips to prevent the troubles and the trials, and we don't use them. We see that God's way is good. It's pure. It works. Those that walk in His ways sing its praises. Look, this path that the Lord has set me on, this way of behaving, it works. I'm happy. I'm patient. I've got peace with everybody in my family. I've got peace with everybody around me. My work is flourishing. My name is respected. I love doing things God's way. People who are truly walking in it, they love it. You see, the people that have a problem with it are the people who aren't doing it. Oh, I don't know, brother. I do pretty well. Well, have you sinned in this way? Well, yeah. Did you sin in that way? Well, yeah. Then you ain't doing it right. Got to do it right. In order for it to work, you got to do it right. We got a timer yesterday, and I was so excited about the timer. You know, when we do things with the kids, we're going to do this for a half hour, and then we'll move on. Or we'll do this for an hour, and we'll move on. All right, you guys got a 5-minute, a 10-minute break. We do a lot with a timer. Love a timer. Got one in the mail yesterday, pretty excited about it. Went to go turn it on, it didn't work. No batteries. Now here's the thing, I was kind of angry there for a millimeter of a second. I was real upset. Well, it doesn't, all the batteries, okay. I can't forget that some things still take batteries you got to put in, right? We can't lose that. But, all right, so put the batteries in, it works just fine. Why didn't it work? You weren't doing it right. Did you put the batteries in it? Well, this way of walking, this way of serving the Lord, it ain't working for me. Are you doing it right? Well, here's your answer. You don't work it right, it don't work. You know, we watch some dumb TV shows in our house. We do. And I'm not picking on anybody. It's my fault. We watched these people, they signed up for a television show where the people in the television show would follow them around for a week to document everything they ate. So they would sit down and they would say, oh, I ate about 1,500 calories. And they would write down in a diary everything they ate. And then they would have these people come and they would, not knowing who they are, would be following them around, taking note of every Kit Kat bar. And it turned out to be like 3,000, 4,000 calories. But they'd always like hype up these people saying, I have no idea why I'm gaining weight. And then they would show, well, you ate an entire pizza on Tuesday. That might have something to do with it. That's us with our sin nature. We don't pay attention to how often we're doing it. And then we have the audacity to turn to the Lord and say, Lord, I don't understand why your way ain't working. It's because you're not really doing it. We must pay attention. Listen, if that shield won't work if it's laid aside. See, our Lord, he ought to be ever present with us. Now, the Lord, he don't move, does he? He doesn't go anywhere. He promised never to leave us nor forsake us. So if I'm far from my shield, it must be because I walked away. There is no other way for us to get away from the protection of God unless we didn't. So listen, we have to acknowledge some things out of this verse. Verse 31, again, as for God, his way is perfect. His way is perfect. You know what I like about God's word? What I like about his way is that it lacks our bias. Mankind, we're very biased people. Right? We make exceptions. We want to be exceptions. We write rules that only benefit us. Even in some of the games that we'll play, we do things that would benefit us. What can I get out of it? What's the best for me? All right, well, once I'm in charge, I'll make sure it goes well. I think I made this comment on Friday. Isn't it funny how when we know exactly what we're paying these politicians and they end up making millions of dollars, and we ain't paying them millions of dollars. How is it that they came in, you know, upper middle class, and they come out millionaires? How does that happen, I wonder? Isn't that a weird thing? Must be something about working at the Capitol, I guess. I mean, come on. I don't know anybody who could take their eyes off business for a while and become millionaires, right? That's not normally how that works. Even in the laws we write, there is man's bias. Almost every story man tells. What do we know about almost every story people tell? There's a hero. There's good guys, and there's bad guys. I want you to take a moment to consider everything you know about the Bible. I want you to consider all the people in the Bible that you're aware of, and I want you to... We're not going to count Jesus Christ in this one. We're not going to consider the Lord in this one. But I want you to make a list of all the good guys in the Bible. I have a hard time doing that. As a matter of fact, you've heard me say umpteen many times, ain't no good guys in the Bible. Oh, well, what about this person? Well, you see their sin and the things that they did? That don't make them good guys. Well, okay, well, what about this person? That's still a sinner. Ain't no good guys. Now many would sit there and say, well, if there ain't no good guys, well, I guess we must all just be awful and we ought to feel awful about ourselves. That ain't the point. Ain't the point to sit there and know that we're all sinners so you could drag your knuckles on the ground and moan about it. That ain't the point. It ain't about self-esteem. It's so that you recognize what you're capable of so that you don't do it. It's to help you. That knowledge is to help you. Right? If I know that I'm susceptible to sin, if I know that I'm susceptible to wrongdoing, then I'm more aware of it, so I'm not going to do it. I'm going to hold back. God don't tell stories with good guys because there ain't no good guys. Just people like you and me doing the best we can and failing. But I tell you what, praise the Lord for his grace. That restores, builds,
gifts. Almost every law we write has some kind of an ulterior motive. I tell you what, we go to pass something through the House and through the Senate and all the way up to the President, and what should be one bill becomes 5,000 pages of nonsense and concessions and deals. Instead of us passing a law, we're sitting there trying to work with cooperation. We're passing things we don't even have time to read through to understand what they're voting for. And they do that on purpose. Now, why do they do it that way? You think that's the best for us? Absolutely not. I ain't picking on our country, every government in the world does stuff to help itself out at the expense sometimes of freedom and justice. They don't care. Why? Because they're human beings. Mankind like you and me. Susceptible to temptation and bias. Even our morality is based on our own experiences and our own understanding. Well, here's the problem. What if your experience is not as great as it should be? What's your worldview going to be like? Very narrow. Hey, what if your the things that you understand or the experiences or the opinions that you've surrounded yourself by, what if they're intensely wrong? Well, that's what you have to work with. That's another thing we talked about on Friday. We are so marinated and steeped in the false opinions around us. We need to be a lot more guarded about what we let in, what we process. Because it is very hard to be surrounded by a nonsensical set of morals, a nonsensical way of thinking, and not adopt some of it ourselves. There was a reason why when the children of Israel came into a territory, they were told to clean it out. And we see exactly what happens when you don't. You end up adopting the sin of those around you. I love God's word. It's not affected by man's bias. It was not written by those that were still learning, those that were still garnering understanding. It's not something that's subject to change because it doesn't need to change. It was made with perfect knowledge of everything that would ever need to be known. It's how God wrote his word from his perspective, not ours. That came up a little bit in Sunday school. When it comes down to God's word, it is a finished work. This book is not a living document. We consider our Constitution a living document, something we can add to and then you make amendments to. This is closed. Book of Revelation tells us, don't take from, don't add to. The authority of this book belongs to the Lord and there is no changing it. And because it is the Lord's, because it lacks our bias, it is made without man's corruption. It's made without man's corruption. Because God, you see, he lacks our sin nature. Temptation doesn't grab a hold of our Lord. The desire to hurt people doesn't drag into the Lord. The desire to get one up above others. The desire to give in to lust and fear. Those things don't touch God. Therefore, we could trust his word. Much of the things that we create, much of our own ways, our own decisions, are filled with those things. Everything that God creates reflects his nature. See, everything we create reflects our nature, doesn't it? Think about all the fancy, flashy cars out there. I'm not much of a car guy, but I like to look at them as they go by. Some of them are pretty cool looking. You know, you see those little smart cars go beeping by. You go, okay, well, what's the purpose of that? Well, I want to save some money. Get knocked off a bridge one day. You know? I saw a video clip yesterday. There was a man, he was in one of those little self-driving cars, and it looked like he fell asleep. Like, first off, I just got a grip on this whole self-driving car thing. Right? Now, again, I don't trust a lot of people driving. Don't quite know if I trust the computer because my computer... You ever have trouble with your computer? You know what I mean? And I'm going to let that thing drive. I don't even trust my GPS, folks. You know what I mean? I argue with my GPS, let alone letting the GPS drive. That's my thing. This person looked like they were asleep, but I don't know if it was a video they created for fun or whatever have you, but I didn't like it. I mean, why would you do that? Well, because I guess I just like to have the best and the most awesome technology. I like to have a nap on my way to work. I don't know. But the things we create reflect what? Our laziness. Reflects our greed. Reflects our pride. Why do you need a car that goes 250 miles an hour? So, yeah, because it's fast, and I like fast things. But you'd be breaking the law if you ever used that speed. Yeah, but it's just good to have it. Okay? You ever see, was it Jay Leno? Jay Leno's garage? I saw a news report. They were walking through Jay Leno's garage. You could drive one car a day. I can't remember how many he had, but you could just be driving a different car every day, just forever how long he had them. Why?
I think they're pretty.
What we create reflects who we are. God doesn't have the selfishness we have. God doesn't have the vanity we have. So when it comes down to His way, we know we can trust it. We know we can rely on His way. Because it's a reflection of who He is. He wants what's best. He wants what's good. He knows sin and He won't have anything to do with it. His way reflects His nature. And in His nature is a love for us. His nature is a love for us. Took the kids down to Frankenmuth. We went to that snow fest. I might have told you this story. But I saw that at that one place there, where they were selling gator bites. Little tiny pieces of alligator tail. Some of the boys were a little nervous. But I'll tell you this, every single last one of them liked it. I looked at them and I say what I often have to say to my boys. See, Dad knows what's good. You know what I'm saying? Dad knows what's good. Dad's not gonna lead you astray, I promise. It's good, right? Oh, it's good. It's good. Every single last one of them liked it. Dad knows what he's talking about. Right? I love you. I want you to have a good experience. You know, we're not going to sit there and, what was it? We went to a Chinese food restaurant one time. They were selling sushi, which is weird in a Chinese food restaurant. But anyway, they brought out, Gideon wanted to try sushi, so he brought out a little sushi, and he got that wasabi there on the plate. And before we could pay attention, he grabbed the whole dollop of what he thought was avocado, threw the whole thing in his mouth. Now, those of you who are familiar with that stuff, that hurts. I'm sitting there, my poor boy, just, I didn't tell you to do that. I wasn't paying close enough attention, but that's not what I would have recommended. You see, God doesn't recommend for us to do stuff that's going to hurt us unnecessarily. God doesn't recommend that we do stuff that's not going to be the best for us. Oh, but what about this other? No, trust the Lord. Yeah, but everybody else is, trust Him. Just trust Him. You're not going to be disappointed. Right? Well, if I do that, I don't agree to do this, they might fire me. They might, my friends might reject me. My family might have some bad things to say. No, you trust Him. You do the right thing. You trust Him. And you'll see. Right? There may be some rough stuff. You may have to come pretty close to the fiery furnace. But I promise, you trust Him. It'll come out better than you think it will. It was made by one who was without sin. He doesn't sin. He's not tempted by it, as I said. He has knowledge that we don't. He has experience we don't. All of these things lead to a wisdom we can't attain to. Listen, I'm pretty decent at solving problems here or there, but if I don't have the knowledge to solve the problem, I ain't going to be able to solve it, right? You've experienced that as well. If you don't have all the knowledge, your wisdom ain't quite right. I always get tickled by those call-in advice TV shows. Those, or not TV shows, but you know, like news columns and radio shows where the person will call, they'll give you a 30-second rendition of what's going on in their life, and the expert's supposed to tell them what to do based on that snippet. Ain't no way you know what's going on in 30 seconds of explanation from one side of the story. There ain't no way you know. I like this. Somebody was talking one time and they said, well, how come you don't answer people's questions? How come you don't open it up for people to bring their problems to you? He goes, oh, very easy. Because I don't know their lives. And there's nothing they can write to me, and there's nothing that could they could say to me in a word snippet that I'd be able to listen to and get the whole picture. He goes, I'd give the wrong advice almost every time because I don't have the full picture. And I go, that's right. That's right. You know, I've got a whole setup for Christian counseling back there, things I can do for this or that. Did you know there's not a single course you could put together that you could do in just an hour? You need time, consideration, conversation. You see, the Lord, He's got perfect knowledge. He knows what's going on in our hearts. He knows the truth of the matter. He knows what will work, what won't work. He's got wisdom we can't touch because He's got knowledge we don't know. He knows how life works. See, in our knowledge is even affected by our own desire to sin. Our own desire to be right regardless of our indiscretions. Our own desire to be the good guy despite the fact that there ain't no good guys and things. Messes us up time in and time again. See, when we sit there and say, well, God's way, His way is good, we need to understand the full effect of what that means. It's good because it ain't ours. It may not make sense to us because we don't have the full knowledge of things. It may not be what we want, but we have to remember He works all things. Good and the bad together for good. As we continue on in our reading, as for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. Is tried. Now we know what that word tried means. It means tested. It means something that has gone through the works. Something that we see and we know that's gonna what happens is going to happen. Right? We've gotten some experimentation with it. When we come down to what God says, the book itself shows us examples of those who either obeyed the word or disobeyed the word and what happened. We can see. Every now and then you see those people, they'll go out there and they'll skate, you know, ice skate on bodies of water, and that's always made me nervous. You know what I'm saying? Danielle could go and skate on something, and it'd be one experience. But if I went out there, that's a completely different level of strength, right? And that ice is going to need a little bit more integrity for me than it will her. So I always get nervous about that stuff. Right? I always just kind of poke around and look to see, is there somebody else? Right? Is there somebody else that could go out there first to make sure that that's good? I never quite understand how they decided what's safe for ice or not. But I'm sure there's some kind of science to it. But you know, you look out there, somebody had to go out there first. Somebody had to sail over a spot for the first time and gave confidence to everybody else. Now you look out there and somebody falls through the ice, you know, okay, not safe. Not safe. We should probably go get them. That ain't right. We used to do that while we were waiting for the bus. There was a small creek by the bus stop. We'd go down there, and there'd always be that kid who wanted to see how strong the ice was. And of course, there'd be some weeks where we would all be out playing on the ice. There'd be other weeks where he'd be sitting there with mud halfway up his leg. You know? Someone's got to test it. See, the thing with the Lord, though, is we know what's going to happen. We know what's going to happen if you disobey it because it's already been tested. We know who it is that's saying it. We know what happens when we've done it before. See, those who live the word can prove it. What about Adam and Eve? Well, God said, don't touch that. Should we touch things God says don't touch? Nope. Should we eat things God says don't eat? Nope. About the children of Israel, hey, don't get too close to these nations. Don't get buddy-buddy with them. And they did. What happened? They accepted their religions. They accepted their way of things. They didn't change God's commands, but they disobeyed God's commands because they had some influence there. They learned some things they shouldn't have learned. And those nations they were best buddies with obliged to come and put them into captivity. Under God's hand, of course. So what happens when we disobey God's word? Chastisement. Well, now what happens? You know, when we sit there and we rely on the Lord and we go to Him, we see times where God's leaders got down on their knees and they prayed and God gave victory over the battle. We see where people relied on God to do the healing and to do the helping, and He showed up and He did exactly what He said He would do. The entire Old Testament, we are promised a Savior. At the very beginning of the New Testament, we find Him. All throughout, we're promised that He would die on a cross, that He would suffer in certain ways. And we see that person go through exactly what the Old Testament said would happen. You know how difficult that is to organize? How hard that would be to control? But all the same, there it was. We try the Word of God. We do. Many of us, we have stories where we disobeyed Him. Things didn't go so well. Either through His chastisement or sin doing what sin does, we learn the value of God's way. We learn the value of that shield. And many of us, when we have followed the Lord and we have served Him, we could sit there and say, oh, wow. Wow. Now, I'm aware of a situation right now. Somebody went in for a medical condition, completely unrelated. Later to find out that they had a life-threatening illness. It was sitting there hiding. You ever hear those stories before, by the way? Oh, you have, yeah. Aren't those wonderful coincidences? I don't believe in coincidence. Neither should you. Lord does what He does. We see the times where He stands up and He is a shield to us. Us here in the church age, we've tried and tested the Word of God. And we know it to be true. Now, do we need to try it and test it? Nope. But we do, because we're sinners. We test those boundaries. We test those barriers. We're like a toddler sitting there. No, 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 don't do that. And that toddler turns around and smiles at you. And they keep doing it. What are you going to do? Are you going to come over here? Oh, you will. Okay, all right. You know. They go out. They go tear it off. That's us. We don't have to try it, but we do. See, the track record of the Word of God speaks for itself. That it can be trusted. I mean, honestly, think about it. When you've reacted sinfully, when you've reacted selfishly, how often does it work? How often does it do well for you? Oh, but we still keep doing it. You know, you'll sit there and you'll talk to a Christian. I got no joy in my life. Oh, really? It seems like I've got trial after trial. Oh, no. You know, been missing you at church. Where you been? Well, you know, life's been hard right now. So really just didn't feel like coming into church. When life's hard, where should you be? Where else would I be? You ain't got no joy? Where else would you go? You know, you're sitting there, you're building a fire. Don't you want to, you build it up in a certain way. We all got ways we like to start fires, and we build our fire up. And what do you want to expose that to? Well, it's awfully cold. I don't want to get any flame too close to it, right? I'll get that flame right up on there. I'm starting a fire here. Well, I don't want to read my Bible. I don't feel good. I'm miserable, I'm sad, I'm depressed, I got anxiety, I really just can't sit and read the Bible. That's when you need it. Amen. Oh, don't you understand? I'm so stressed out. That's when you need it. How about your prayer life? You talking to the Lord? My mind's just been so distracted with everything going on. That's when you need it. Why is it that when we need the Lord the most, our bodies scream, no, 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 because we're still sinners? Stop slapping the answer away. Grab a hold of that shield. I don't need a shield. I just got too much going on. I got all these arrows flying in on me. Right? I can't hold a shield. I got to be grabbing these arrows. You don't need to grab every arrow. You're holding that shield. See, my behavior will change the closer I get to the Lord. That's going to be less arrows. The Lord's going to protect me from a lot of things because I'm close to Him. Finishing up this verse, it is, He is a buckler to all them that trust in Him. You see, a buckler would be a smaller shield that someone would carry. So as you're sitting there doing battle, it'd be easy to get the shield in and right back out as you're doing battle. Our lives, so often, they resemble a battle. One thing after the other. One attack after the other. One trial after the other. Stop battling on your own. There's a way to do it, and a way to do it right. Many of us, we struggled. Many of the things that we're good at, we struggled at first. It took practice, took learning. But ultimately, what we had to do is we had to learn that there was a right way, and there was a wrong way. Right? There's ways that work, and ways that don't work. You know, oftentimes when we were training a brand new maintenance person, they would show up with whatever tools they had. And if they didn't have the tool they needed, what would they do? Improvise. So you'd see some random and crazy stuff. Screwdrivers used as pry bars. You would see they're trying to use wrenches in ways that they weren't made to be used. You'd see some crazy concoctions going on to try to get the simplest thing done. Finally, after a while, I started to have to build up this work set of tools that you could go and get and take over there if you didn't have something, because we were losing money on parts because people were using the wrong tools on them. Right? It was almost comical. You know, there's a right way to live your life. And of course, we're all looking for that right way to live our lives. Humanism says we got to do things our way. Frank Sinatra says we got to do things our way. We got to discover our own truth. We've got to be individuals. We've got to speak our own truth. But I'll tell you what, I don't see a lot of people doing that, and they're happy. Oh, they're happy for the camera. They're happy in their blog post. Oh, they've got all the answers. But the anxiety's still there. Well, that's because people don't agree with me. No one agrees with nobody agrees with each other. Let's just be honest, right? We all disagree on a lot of different things, just the way of it. So what's there? Well, still got a lot of depression among these people. Well, it's because people don't accept me for what I am. Not a lot of people accept me for who I am. I'm doing just fine. I get a lot of weird looks too. Who are you? I'm Pastor so-and-so. All right. Yeah, it's hard to get accepted being a religious leader nowadays. I'm not saying it's persecution, but I'm just saying not everybody's fully accepted for who they are. Right? Yeah, well, everyone's judgmental against me. Well, that's a very judgmental thing to say, because you ain't met everybody yet. See, they got these opinions that the reason why they feel these things is because other people are making them feel things. When in all actuality, you can't fill a hole with useless things. That hole you have needs to be filled by the Lord. And those things that you're putting on, those character traits you think that you've got, they're all a facade. They're all decorations. You know, we had that big old Christmas tree this year. Still sitting by the side of my house. I got to do something with it. Big old Christmas tree. You know what we did? We put lights in there. Trees ain't got lights. Put lights on there. We put a big old star on the top of it, decorations, baubles, things that we've gotten, things that we've collected, put it all over. Trees don't look that way. When we took all those things down and we put them away, what was it at the end? A tree. That's what it was. And you can sit there and you can gussy yourself up any way you like. But in the end, you're just hanging stuff off of a body. Body that will one day stop working, stop moving. And the spirit of who you are, your spirit, will go to either heaven or hell. And you don't get to bring the decorations. And you don't get to bring the cosmetics, nor the cosmetic surgeries. You don't get to bring all the affects you put in your voice or in your mannerisms. You don't get to bring those things. It is a place where the toughest of the tough and the fairest of the fair will all be equal. We cannot try to find any other way than what the Lord says for us to be. We will struggle every time. We will suffer every time. For he is a shield from the imperfect things. You know, there's a lot of things that happen because this is a cursed earth. We've talked about them on great lengths. It ain't right that people that we love suffer. It ain't right that we suffer. Don't seem very right to us that we've got to say goodbye to folks. It ain't right that we can't just constantly do whatever makes us feel good for a second. We can sit there, we can make all kinds of complaints. But these things are imperfect things. And God can protect us from the imperfect things. He can. He can even protect us while the imperfect things are happening. We live in an imperfect earth. Things will happen. He is a shield from the more sketchy things, the wrong things, right? Open up the newspaper this morning, you'll find people who have overdosed. What a heartbreaking thing. God tells me not to do such things. If I obey him, it's a shield from those things. I'm not going to have to experience those things. Hey, God says, hey, don't, God says, have this kind of relationship. God says, act in this way in your troubles and in your trials. God says, do this. And if I follow along, there's a lot of sinful things that won't happen because I wasn't in that spot. I wasn't where I wasn't supposed to be. I wasn't doing what I wasn't supposed to do. I wasn't around people who were going to do something that would get me in trouble. Makes sense that the more I obey him, the less risk I'm taking on. Because again, it's not just about God's chastising. That should be enough for us. It really, really should. But so very often we go on and we do things anyway. We must also be concerned about what sin does when it gets a hold of us. It perverts our judgment. It changes our minds on things. It makes us callous. It sears our consciences. It brings in its own disasters and its own terrors into our lives. We were talking on Friday about that HIV medication that they can give, and it can bring somebody down to where they're almost in a remissive type state with it. So I was curious. I looked up how much that would cost. Let me tell you, monogamy is still cheaper. Abstinence, still cheaper. It's almost punitive, the price they put on the solutions to the things we cause ourselves. Right? And then it breaks my heart. You know, there's people all over the world, they're born with diseases like that. I was listening to a story about a young boy was born. His mom was hooked on all different kinds of drugs. You ever see those kids that are born that way? And they struggle. And it's not just that, but when you're born with that addiction into your body, you're born addicted to those chemicals, it affects the development of the mind. May not show up for years later in school, but it affects and it hurts their minds. It's an awful place to be when I live the way I ought to. I don't have to fight those things. I don't have to pay for those bills. I don't have to answer to those crimes. I don't have to have that effect in my life. We see, of course, the Lord is a literal shield from danger. Literal shield from danger. Now, there's many a time that we can point to where that should have been the end of our lives. Where that should have been it. But something happened. And maybe not just something that drastic, but small minor things, goofy things that have taken place. And there was the solution right there. You know, I brought up locking my keys in the car. Thankfully, my wife just lived up the block. And we've got a couple extra sets to the car. Because while I've never done it, the potential's there. I promise you, the potential's there. I was locked out of the church. 30 seconds later, after I realized how trapped I was, here comes Brother Charlie. Brother Charlie was early that morning. I was so very grateful that Brother Charlie was early that morning. Because I was only out there for about 30 seconds. I was like, all right. Well, brother, what about the lock? It was cold. The lock was frozen. Right? I'm sitting there trying to, okay, well, if I take my shoe off and hit it, maybe that might work. You know? Didn't have time to problem solve. Lord brought Brother Charlie in early. Even in the small things, the Lord's there to protect. Not just in the obedience things. And of course, if we obey Him, there's a lot of dangers we're not exposed to. But He'll protect us from certain things. Now, what does that mean about the times where He don't? That means that there was a reason why we had to go through those things. Maybe we're there in that hospital so that something else can get found out. Maybe we're in that hospital because there's somebody in that hospital who needs to hear the gospel. And there ain't no way for them to have found you. So the Lord had to get you to find them. Maybe you had to go through that to be strong enough to help others. Maybe it had nothing to do with you. Maybe it had more to do with that person. Maybe that's why you had to mourn and say goodbye. There's been people in my life, I was very upset. Lord, why'd you have to take them? Don't you understand how important they were to me? Don't you know how great it would be? And I was just thinking the other day, my grandpa on my dad's side, he was a cool grandpa. He was funny. You ever have a funny grandparent? He was funny. I liked my grandpa. I'll tell you this, he would have loved my kids. He would have gotten a real kick out of them. I was thinking a couple weeks ago, I go, man, he got a chance to meet Xander when he was a baby, but I wish they would have been able to get a chance to see their personality. I think he'd get a kick out of that. I thought about my great-grandmother. My great-grandmother was an amazing woman. I loved her very much. I thought, she would get a real good kick out of my kids. Why'd that happen? What? Maybe it had nothing to do with you. Maybe it was just their time. Maybe it was just a piece of mercy he was granting them because that body of theirs was too much to deal with. He protects us. You know, we sit here, money in our bank accounts, food in our pantries, gas in our cars that work. We've got clothes on our back. We've got choices in clothing. We're not just waiting for someone to come by with a box. We got choices in clothing. And we sit there and we wonder if God's protecting us. I'm up here sweating. It's 30-some-odd degrees outside. Heat must be on. Ain't that nice? I was out there. I ran a race yet. I didn't run the whole race. I kind of did this for most of it. It was cold. I looked at the temperature. It said 16 degrees. But that other little number I was looking for with the wind chill, what does it feel like? -1. I go, this is a good thing to be doing. This is smart. I didn't. I felt dumb. I ran out there and I ran and I was going and I was speeding up because I was at the halfway mark and I was so excited and they were passing this bridge and took my first step out onto the bridge and turned out the snow was covering some ice. Whoop! Now I'm cold, covered in snow, and everyone's laughing at me because there ain't nothing funnier. The fat guy falling. And I go, I come back in, and I get in the car. You know what I got in the car? I got a gallon of water in the car. You know what I mean? I want you to sit there. I know it's a goofy story, but I want you to consider every syllable of that goofy story. Want to know why I was able to go do that? I had nothing. I wasn't fighting for my life. Because I wasn't out there trying to make sure I wasn't starving. We can get into a plane, we can find communities where you can't do those things because you've got to work yourself to death just for a scrap of food. I stopped off at Kern's. I got myself a chocolate milk and some summer sausage. You know what I'm talking? Yeah. The vanity. The access that we have. And we wonder, has God protected me? Come on now. Everybody here, you saw that? You saw that balloon up in the sky? Those Chinese balloons up in the sky? Oh, no. What's gonna... Really? I mean, you understand what we... Used to be, if there was a balloon up in the sky, you might read about it in the paper 2 weeks from now by the time I got to your town. The moment we saw it, we had high-def pictures of it. We knew where it was throughout the hour. The regular citizen could figure, keep update on it minute by minute. Where is this thing? Right? There was cameras on it when the thing was popped. Right? Ask yourself if God's protecting you. With your clothes and your belly full of food, the heat around you, God's protecting you. Don't sit there and point to the handful of things that happen naturally, the handful of things that happen because of our sin, and the handful of things that happen just because we're living on a cursed earth and go, oh, God is not protecting us. He is. He is. The trick is this. Do we recognize it? Do we raise it up to Him? Say thank you. Thank you for this. You know, we do have problems. We got to take those problems seriously. I'm not saying they're not valid. But pause and thank God for that protection He puts on your life. Even to be able to sit here and say that there are sins that aren't in your life, you need to thank Him for protecting you from those things. Now, there are some things that you guys will have in your testimony I was never exposed to. I didn't have to quit. And I say that to say that if I was exposed to this before I was saved, I probably would have. You know what I mean? Sometimes I sit there and I wonder, did the Lord save me when I was so young because He knew I couldn't handle my teenage years without Him? I do. He goes, I got some people that would quit for me. Some people who won't. I better save this guy because I don't think he will. I don't know why He saved me when He saved me. But if He saved you, and hey, if there's sin that was in your life and it ain't there now, that's His protection. You thank Him. Because some of us struggle to get those old sins away. You praise Him. He is our shield. His way is perfect. And that way that we're talking about has been tried over and over again. And it is consistent in its success. So what are we going to do? Will we live His way? Or will we continue to play around and learn the lessons the hard way? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're grateful for Your protection. Grateful for Your love and Your watch care over us. Father, I firmly believe there are things You protected us from we ain't thanked You properly for. And I know, Father, there's things You protect us from that could have been real bad and we never found out about. Lord, because that's how good You are to us. So, Lord, I pray that every day we're grateful. Every day we tell You how grateful we are for Your protections. Lord, for the protections You give us from the evil around us. And, Lord, the protection that Your word gives us, Your way gives us. Lord, just by following You and obeying You, the things we don't have to deal with. Oh, Lord, we're so grateful, and we ought to be. Be with us, Father. Help us to stay within Your way. Not to go our own, not to mess around, not to get tempted to leave. But, Lord, keep us on the right path. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.